In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I would like to briefly share with you three examples of a new beginning from our family, if you'll permit me. This past April, our son Ben and daughter-in-law Kira bought their first house together after moving from Chicago to the Twin Cities. Good neighborhood, beautiful yard, they're newly married, so this house is part of a new beginning. Second example of a new beginning, it may not look it outside, but the new summer camp season and plans are already gearing up. And just this week, I filled out my application to be on clergy staff for the new upcoming camp season. Third example I want to share is that our daughter Rachel in Grand Marais started a new job this month. Nice office, window overlooking Lake Superior, doing writing work that she very much enjoys, and it's a great new job for her. So these three examples, new house, new church camp season, new job. Great or small are all examples of a new beginning, something fresh about them. Interestingly, they all share something else in common. All three required that somebody look into our past. Somebody look into our past. For Rachel, she had to provide an employment history and references. These people were then contacted to see what kind of worker she had been in her past. For church camp staff, I had to agree to a background check where someone looks into my past to make sure that I don't have a nefarious criminal record and that my criminal record is clean. And for Ben and Kira to take out a mortgage, they ran both a credit check on them to see if they have a history of paying their bills on time in the past, and also the title company actually reviewed the history of the house itself to make sure all the deeds and liens and whatnot were clean. All three examples are about starting new, yet all three only get there by taking into account the past. Now, we're on the verge of celebrating our Savior's nativity, which is as new a beginning as there ever was. New birth, new covenant, new life, all things made new. But before we get to that moment, the gospel says, first, we need to look at our past. First, let's look at humanity's history. We hear the genealogy, the ancestry of Jesus from Abraham down to Mary and Joseph. Before we talk about new life, the New Testament says, first we're going to review 42 generations of history. And it's not because we're going to be living in the past. Jesus repeatedly calls us to live in the today. But in order to live in the new of today, we have to be at least aware of our past. I mean, our past is what it is. It exists. It can't be changed. And it has to be reconciled in order to live new. Now, the ancestry of our Lord is a really, really interesting mix. There are a lot of good and noble folks among them. People whose faith rarely wavered. People who surrendered their own agenda for the love of God. And yet mixed in that ancestry is some rather unsavory stuff, too, if you've ever read your Old Testament. We have murderers and adulterers and polygamists and extortioners and thieves and opportunists and people whose faith was who knows where throughout most of their life. It would have made for a very interesting holiday gathering if they'd all lived at the same time, right? And if you thought your family gatherings were interesting. But in order to appreciate the new life found in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the gospel says, first, let's look at what's being made new. Let's look at what's being made flesh. Let's look at the past Jesus is both inheriting and reconciling. Jesus comes to take all of this on himself, humanity's best and our worst, our greatest moments of love and our deepest, ugliest prejudices. And in taking on our past, the Son of God redeems and baptizes all of what makes us be us. And in doing so, Jesus makes all things new. And that's why the New Testament begins by a quick stop into our past. Now, here's the thing for this year. What does that have to do with our today? Well, Christ did not just come for humanity in general as some abstract theology. Christ came to make each person new. Christ came for you and comes for you today in December of 2022. Now is the opportunity for a new beginning. Our Savior's nativity is not just a remembrance of an event past, but an opportunity to discover God within you today. And part of that new beginning today is the redemption of your past, your personal history from years ago all the way up to a minute ago. Jesus takes it all on. He takes it all in. Everything that makes you wonderful. Your love, your kindness, your generosity, your joy, your goodness, your inner peace, your most faithful moments, Christ takes on today and glorifies them in ways that we can't even imagine. And what about your worst moments? Those hidden places that maybe you'd like to forget, or maybe unsavory stuff that part of you even wants to cling to. Our selfish tendencies, hurtful words spoken so carelessly, the people we look past because they're different. My dark prejudices I don't like to admit. The pains I have caused and the pains I have received at the hands of someone else. What about those hidden places? Well, is your own past really all that different than the ancestry we just read about? Mixed as ever, the ancestry the Son of God did in fact accept. Or to put it another way, there is nothing inside you so distasteful that Christ won't come. There's stuff that needs to be redeemed, make no mistake, and there's good that has yet to reach its great glory, but nothing in your history can keep Christ away. And the proof I offer that God will come to you is that God has already come to you. God is already in your heart, redeeming all of your past up to the last minute. It's not a matter of Jesus will be coming next weekend at Christmas. It's a matter of opening our inner eye to see that Jesus abides within now. The new beginning is not Christ coming to you per se. The new beginning is you discovering that Christ has already come and dwells within your heart. Amen.